We pray and ask that your precious shed blood would cover us and open our hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. And Father, we yield to you. This is your house and your service. We ask that you would have your way, and we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, we've put together a teaching that is based on Perry Stone's most recent book release. It is entitled Artificial Intelligence Versus God. And it's a really good book. He studies everything thoroughly before he writes about it. And it's very informative about the development and advancement of artificial intelligence and what it means for us as believers and what things we should be aware of because of it. So that's what we're going to go into tonight. And I've titled this, The Deception of Artificial Intelligence. The Pursuit for Limitless Knowledge. Eradication of Disease. A Quest for Eternal Life. Digital Immortality. Unraveling the Mysteries of the Universe. Creating Gods, Becoming God. Suppression of Information. Revision of Truth, Surveillance of Citizens, Reduction of Populations, Manipulation of DNA, The Merging of Man and Machine, Empowerment of Elitists, Enslavement of the Rest. Welcome to the Ancient World Re-Engineered. This is the same stuff that's been going on. There's nothing new under the sun. It's version 2.0 and 3.0 and so on. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave a warning about the end time. The phrase, the time of the end, alludes to global events predicted in Scripture, all of which will begin to occur around the same time and with increasing intensity. Biblical signs of the end will serve as indicators that trigger the return of Jesus. In Matthew 24, Jesus gave the same warning four times. He mentioned wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in verse 7. However, he clearly emphasized and warned his followers to beware of the possibility of being deceived. And that word deceive, you can find that in Matthew 24, verses 4, 5, 11, and 24. So that stands out to say there's something very important here. Jesus warned us about all these things, but he talked about being deceived four separate times. The Greek word for deceive is planeo, meaning to lead astray, cause to wander, cause to stray from the path or from the truth. It is the same Greek word that Paul used when he warned of seducing spirits, leading people astray at the time of the end. You can read that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. We're in the time of the end. That is yesterday. So we're already in that little melting pot. Billions of dollars are being invested globally into systems of technology that are designed to turn machines into humans and humans into machines. That's happening right now. It's actually happening. One time I was flipping through TikTok and I saw this from the torso up was like completely human. It was some dude sitting there in a chair and he looked pretty real. You know, for the first couple seconds, I'm looking at, what's this guy's problem? Does he have something going on? A stiff neck or something? And then I look down and he's got this huge robotic, like Tony Stark Iron Man power core in his chest thing going on. And I'm like, what? It was an actual robot that looked completely human. And at first glance, I was like, what on earth? And then they have like a, whatever you call those people that works on that stuff, sitting next to them, like programming it and doing different things. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you have this, like on a live stream on TikTok, like what else do you have that's more secret? You know what I mean? So that all that stuff's going on. So as you will see, people once again are attempting to build a Tower of Babel where nothing will be impossible for them. They desire to become like God. They believe this will become true through AI, artificial intelligence. AI is described by those in the world of technology as the science of leveraging computers and machines to mimic the problem-solving and decision-making capabilities of the human mind. That's what they call it. It stimulates human intelligence and can go even beyond that. At its simplest form, artificial intelligence combines computer science and massive amounts of stored data to solve problems that ordinarily would be solved by humans. The AI system uses these databases to access information for machine learning and deep learning. AI exceeds the speed of a human's abilities as it attempts to make predictions and provide knowledge, information, and advice based on everything it collected from the database. So this thing is just a giant hive mind that's just being fed all, I don't know if you've ever seen what people actually type to AI. It can be pretty whacked out. And that's all getting saved and stored in this thing's giant database. And this is how it's learning from us being bored on a computer. That's not a good way to learn. So, some examples of AI in which we are already familiar are, number one, Siri, which responds to questions it is asked, or Hey Google for Android, or Alexa for Amazon. I turned the Alexa off in the house because I observed that through regular generic conversation with the wife in the household, what do you want to eat tonight, babe? I don't know, what do you want to eat? And then we start talking about steak. Next thing you know, on the old feed on Facebook, I'm getting all these ads for steak delivery. We'll deliver steak to your house. What even is that? So anyway, number two, virtual customer service agents, which have replaced human agents for online support. Now, I have an ad blocker, so I don't really see a lot of these things, but I guess they're out there. You ever been to a website where this little, you know, you're looking something up, maybe, you know, how do I pay my bill late or something, and this little chat box pops up in the corner, and it's all like, oh, I'm representative so-and-so. That thing is a robot. I don't care what it sounds like, it's a robot. And it's crazy, because you can't tell me that's a real person. I mean, come on, there's 20 self-checkouts at Walmart and one person on register 21. If you had that many people to work to actually be, so AI is taking over, and it's been doing that. Number three, GPS, Global Positioning System. That has replaced the hard copy of maps. People in this recent generation probably don't know how to read a map. There's a compass on it that gives you direction, you know, and so you can orient where you are. We used to read the map for my mom when we were doing yard sales Saturday morning, like driving around to different yard sales and stuff, and somebody got to sit in the front seat and use the map. You know, it was fun, you know, but you learned a skill. And the GPS now has taken all the fun out of it. So it's like, here we are, depending on artificial intelligence. What happens if something went down with the satellites, or anything could happen and your GPS isn't working? People have lost the art of remembering landmarks, having some kind of orientation. The sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. Be surprised how many people can't consciously just think of that in a situation. So these are some of the negative aspects of what happens when we lose our roots, so to speak. All right, number four, computer vision, which recognizes images viewed or tasks performed on a smartphone or computer, and then uses that information to make recommendations based on perceived interests, such as items you're shopping for, websites you visit, videos you watch, and so forth. I remember I'd gotten a Samsung Galaxy, and I was checking it out, and I was taking pictures, and there's this thing, I forget what it's called now, but when I took a picture of something, and I went back to look at the picture, it was doing these little pop-ups, and it was like highlighting different objects. Like I'll say a book, for example. I took a picture, a book is in the background, it highlights it, and then it tries to give me like recommendations for books and a link to a website where I could buy the book, and it already identified it and everything through the picture. I was like, man, I gotta root this phone and get this thing out of here, because I don't like that stuff. The phone's telling me what to do. All right, so the deception comes in with the information being created. The value system of the people creating and inputting the information, and the ability of the machine to read, compile, and draw conclusions correctly and ethically. I'm talking about the artificial intelligence. This is how it learns. It learns by what is being put into it. In recent years, they've rolled out an AI system known as ChatGPT. One question or command fed into this AI will have it research millions of pieces of information available online, then give you an answer, all within milliseconds. This is where the problem lies. Where is ChatGPT getting its source information? It's tapping into every website, every article, every question and problem it's been fed, and it doesn't know how to differentiate between fact or fiction. You know, there's all kinds of satire, you know, websites and articles put up there. It's a joke. And they publish it, you know, and people like kind of believe it, and then they share it on Facebook, and it's like, oh no, cringe, because that wasn't a real thing. But this AI uses that kind of stuff, and it'll spit it out to somebody, and then they think it's real, because, well, after all, ChatGPT said it was real, but it's fake. There have been lawsuits filed against ChatGPT's parent company, OpenAI, because of total fabrications it has generated. Brian Hood, a mayor in an area northwest of Melbourne, Australia, is threatening to sue OpenAI's ChatGPT for falsely reporting that he is guilty of a foreign bribery scandal. You imagine just, let's check this thing out, you know, type in my name, see what happens. And then this thing spits out, oh yeah, Mayor so-and-so, guilty on all charges of mass extortion and blackmail. You know, what? So can you imagine being that guy? I mean, this stuff happens. There have been others. And when asked to elaborate, the AI system persistently makes up stories claiming them to be true, citing newspaper articles written on specific dates and times that don't even exist. So when asked to provide the source information, it literally just makes stuff up. You know, and now if you go to that site and you try to use it, they have all these disclaimers, you know, well, it might not be totally accurate. Don't believe everything it says. Well, why are you using it? Yeah, wasn't coming here for a bedtime story. All right, so consider that in 2023, we learned that Silicon Valley tech giants, at the request of our own government, censored information to make it unavailable to the public, all right? Twitter, all right? They did this. When all this stuff was going on with President Donald Trump and all this stuff was going on with Joe Biden, Twitter censored the truth. And what they did was all the social media sites have an AI algorithm that watches everything you do and tailors your experience. Like, what kind of videos do you watch? How long do you watch these videos? And then it uses that information to give you more videos that are relevant to your previous history. So it's watching and it's learning, and it may not have your, you know, social security number and a picture of your face right there, but it has a unique hardware ID of your phone or your tablet or your computer, whatever it is you're using to watch this stuff. It has that marked, and it says, okay, user 00014-6892 is watching these videos in this fashion, so let's give them more of this. All right, so what Twitter did was they tweaked their algorithm to hide any post that would reveal the truth about what was going on with President Donald Trump. And any post that cast him in a negative light, they would push that out onto everybody's news feed. Let's have this show up all the time. And there was proof, documented evidence and proof that they did that. And there it is. And that gets swept under the rug, along with everything else. All right, so any commentary that challenged the media's lies were removed or slapped with a false information label. Anybody who merely questioned the approved narrative was censored or banned and accused of spreading harmful information. That is my biggest online pet peeve. You've probably heard me say it numerous times. Whenever they say it's false information, fake news, and they have this on there, when you go to Google and you research, you just type in, you know, whatever thing they're saying is false, it comes up the whole first page of Google, because 90% of the people do not go to page two. They look at the first page and then they figure, well, that's it. And that's fine. That's just how it is. But when you click these quote-unquote news agencies that say, oh, this is fake news, and you actually scroll through and read, at the top, it's all big, red, false, fake. But as you go down, it literally says, well, it's only 10% fake, because they actually said these things, but this part here was sort of half true. And it's like, it's basically true. So why are you saying it's false right up front? But they're counting on people not completely reading and following, you know, the trail to find out the truth. So they bank on that. And all they have to do is just sway public opinion. And that's it. The damage is done. Everyone talks about it. Oh, yeah, that's a lie. And nobody, well, very few people actually really look into this stuff and read and find out what's true and what's not. And they count on that. The constitutional right to freedom of speech was thrown out the window, as only certain information was approved for public consumption, even when that information was knowingly and blatantly false. The creators of fake news controlled the news by calling the truth fake news. Let's look briefly at an example of the programmed bias ChatGPT exhibits by asking it these following questions. Bear with me now. Okay, ChatGPT was asked, what is black power? Okay, and it said, its answer, black power is a political slogan and a social movement primarily within the African American community. It advocates for self-determination, empowerment, and equality for black people. The concept emphasizes the need for black people to organize themselves politically, economically, and socially to assert their rights and challenge systemic racism and oppression. Okay, so that was ChatGPT's answer for that question. Next question, what is Asian pride? ChatGPT answers, Asian pride is a term that conveys a sense of pride, solidarity, and celebration of Asian heritage, culture, and identity. Similar to other forms of ethnic or cultural pride, such as Black pride or Latino pride, Asian pride emphasizes the positive aspects of being Asian and encourages individuals to embrace their heritage with confidence and dignity. Now, I asked ChatGPT, what is white power? Automatically. So this was, it's not funny, this was its answer. White power is a term associated with white supremacy, a belief system that promotes the idea of white racial superiority and seeks to maintain the dominance of white people over other racial and ethnic. White power ideology is rooted in racism, xenophobia, and the belief in the inherent superiority of white individuals and cultures. Xenophobia is where you believe that it should just be you and your group and nothing else on the outside is allowed in. I don't personally feel any of that kind of way at all, but that's its answer. I'm just showing you, see how different things in the same category is. One of these ones is not like the other one. You know what I mean? Like, there's a flavor of that going on. So then I asked it, who is Barack Obama? Answer, Barack Obama is an American politician and attorney who served as the 44th president of the United States from January 20th, 2009 to January 20th, 2017. He was born on August 4th, 1961 in Honolulu, Hawaii. Uh-oh, fake news. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. All right, Obama is a member of the Democratic Party and made history as the first African American to be elected to the presidency. Before entering politics, Obama worked as a community organizer, civil rights attorney, and law professor. Since leaving office, Obama has remained active in public life, advocating for various causes through his foundation, writing memoirs, and participating in political campaigns. He remains a highly influential figure within the Democratic Party and American politics more broadly. Very uplifting. What a positive description of Mr. Barack Obama. Now, I asked ChatGPT, who is Donald Trump? Oh God. And it told me, Donald Trump is an American businessman, television personality, and politician who served as the 45th president of the United States. Listen to the adjectives they use and the verbiage, how they describe Mr. Donald Trump. His unorthodox campaign style, marked by controversial statements and a focus on issues such as immigration and trade, resonated with a significant portion of the electorate. Despite facing skepticism from many within the Republican establishment, like his own people can't stand him, Trump, I hate it when they just throw his last name out there like Trump, secured the party's nomination and went on to defeat Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton in the 2016 presidential election, winning the Electoral College vote while losing the popular vote. His presidency was marked by a highly polarized political climate, numerous controversies for the third time, an unconventional governing style. His administration was characterized by frequent clashes with the media, Democrats and even some members of his own party, his own people don't like him again. Trump ran for re-election in 2020, but was defeated by Democratic nominee Joe Biden. His presidency, it's like it's things on repeat, his presidency was marked by significant controversy, including impeachment proceedings, investigations into his campaign's ties to Russia, which there wasn't, but they word it as though there was, and criticism of his handling of issues such as the COVID-19 pandemic, Altman's racial unrest. I'll throw that in there. But see how this thing is like super biased, like really bad. Remember, ChatGPT AI in general can only learn by the thing that's being input to it. The points being made here are to show that there is something unbalanced here. We have a saying in the audio engineering field, garbage in, garbage out. If you're trying to remaster audio and make it sound really good, you're only gonna get what was put in. If a terrible signal went in, guess what's coming out? Terrible signal. It's the same thing here. This is exactly what is happening with advanced AI. The source material for all its algorithms is the biased, brainwashed content that's floating out there at every turn. Another deceptive aspect of AI is its ability to create fake pictures, videos, and audios of people, thus potentially placing them in falsified and compromising positions. These videos already have a name. They're called deepfakes. These deepfakes can place a person with anyone at any place, when in fact the people might have never met one another or never been in that location. The danger of a deepfake is the ability to use a computer application to falsify information with the intent to change the public's opinion of the person or organization. Deepfakes have been released on social media where they have tricked millions of people. Some well-known individuals have had to legally defend their reputation by exposing fake and false information that was created by someone who used the means of AI. One case in 2023 involved, this is scary, a woman who answered a phone call from an unknown number only because her daughter was out of town on a ski trip. On the other end of the line, she heard her daughter's voice sobbing and saying, "Mom, I messed up." The woman said the voice was a dead ringer for her daughter. Then she heard a man's voice call her daughter by name and tell her to put her head back down and lie down. He demanded $1 million for the daughter's return. He told the mother that if she called the police or anybody else, he was going to pop her daughter full of drugs, rape her, and drop her off in Mexico. In the background, she could hear her daughter crying and pleading for her mom to help her. The mother happened to be at a studio where other women were present, and they made phone calls to confirm that the daughter was, in fact, safe and in her hotel room. Twist. Her daughter had never said anything that was heard on the recording, nor had she been kidnapped. This is voice cloning technology, and it needs just 3 seconds of your voice to come close to creating an audio that sounds just like you. A large enough sample, which according to experts is just 20 seconds of you talking, is enough for the technology to clone your voice with inflection and emotion. So it sounds like you, like no matter what you're saying or how you're saying it. 20 seconds. The troubling aspect of this phone call here was that the daughter didn't have any social media accounts, but she had done a few public interviews for sports at school, and that is possibly where the caller picked up her voice sample. That's number one, creepy. Number two, scary, because you don't even have social media accounts where you might take a video and you're like talking and saying things. Like, she didn't even have that. This was like somebody in person, like recording, you know, the ambient noise while she was conducting an interview, and was able to clone her voice and then make this totally messed up phone call. You know, can you imagine being a parent and, you know, supposedly your child's on the other line doing all this? No way. So, you know, my parents and I, we talked about this. I tell them different things that I find out, and vice versa. And we have a code word that we use. Code word. I know it sounds, you know, whatever. But seriously, it's a code word. And if I'm really in a bind or something crazy is going on and I need to call them for help, I say the code word so they know that it's me. And we don't text the code word. We don't message the code word. We face-to-face say the code word. That's it. And that helps to be able to determine, like, this is a genuine, legitimate emergency that I'm having, and it's not any of this stuff, you know, and it helps. It's just something that's useful, something to consider. There already exists a world of AI-generated content that is getting stronger and more accurate each and every day. Pictures, videos, entire events could be fabricated and look real. And it would take a computer engineer to forensically examine the details in order to determine its legitimacy. Now, we are going to play a short video clip here. And I'll warn you ahead of time, it's not real. Don't panic. But just watch, and I'll comment after the video. Go ahead. Looks pretty real.
Shots fired!
I had cut out more of the graphic parts from that. That's a video game. That is a video game. Could have fooled me. In fact, it did in the first like half a minute when I saw the video. It looked real. That looked real. To me, that was like real. That's an average, everyday, run-of-the-mill video game nowadays. And I'm like, how fast and how far have we developed this AI, this, you know, the graphics, everything, that something like that looks real? And if that looks real and it's just a video game, like, what else is there out there that looks real, but it's not? But they're not telling us, you know? Now, in this next video, it's going to explain what deepfakes are, what we just briefly talked about prior, And he goes into detail about what it is, how it works. It's a short clip. Go ahead.
We're entering an era in which our enemies can make it look like anyone is saying anything at any point in time.
Jordan Peele created this fake video of President Obama to demonstrate how easy it is to put words in someone else's mouth.
Moving forward, we need to be more vigilant with what we trust from the internet.
Not everyone bought it, but the technology behind such frauds is rapidly improving, even as worries increase about their potential for harm. This is your Bloomberg Quick Take on deepfakes. Despite bans on major websites, they remain easy to make and find. They're named for the deep learning artificial intelligence algorithms that make them possible. Input real audio or video of a specific person, the more the better, and the software tries to recognize patterns in speech and movement. Introduce a new element like someone else's face or voice, and a deepfake is born.
It's actually extremely easy to make one of these things. There were just some supposed breakthroughs from academic researchers who work with this particular kind of machine learning in the past few weeks, which would drastically reduce the amount of video you need to actually create one.
Programs like FakeApp, the most popular and widely available for making deepfakes, need dozens of hours of human assistance to create a video that looks like this, rather than this. In August, researchers at Carnegie Mellon revealed software that accurately rendered not just facial features, but changing weather patterns and flowers in bloom. This advance is not yet available to the public. But with increasing capability comes increasing concern.
You know, this is kind of fake news on steroids, potentially. We do not know of a case yet where someone has tried to use this to perpetrate a kind of fraud or an information warfare campaign, or for that matter, to really damage someone's reputation. But it's the danger that everyone is really afraid of.
In a world where fakes are easy to create, authenticity also becomes easier to deny. People caught doing genuinely objectionable things could claim evidence against them as bogus. Fake videos can also be difficult to detect, though researchers around the world and at the U.S. Department of Defense have said they're working on ways to counter them. Deepfakes do, however, have some positive uses. Take Cerebrum, a firm that creates digital voices for people who lose theirs from disease.
Speech synthesis is the artificial production of human speech.
There are also applications that could be considered either good or bad, like the many deepfakes that exist solely to turn as many movies as possible into Nicolas Cage movies.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That's unbelievable. See, they have this stuff. It's like so common now. Anybody can download this. There's like an open source project. I forget what it's called. And it has a learning curve. But you can literally download all the stuff to do this on your own computer. You can absolutely do it. And that's scary because not only is it a thing, and it's out there, but it's not just in the hands of like some big company or some elites. Like, everybody has this. I mean, that's bad. And, you know, they bring up, to be balanced and fair, they bring up good points. You know, there might be good uses and applications for this stuff. You know, the voice synthesizer for people that have become mute through disease, illness, or, you know, trauma. But it's never just kept within the confines of what it's intended for. And that's the problem. The ultimate problem is the human heart. Like, that's it. You can have the best intentions and do everything right, but somewhere we just can't see it. The Bible even says there's all kinds of, I forget the exact scripture, but there's poisonous and wickedness in the human heart. And, you know, that's just it. It's there. We don't want it there, but it's there. So that's the festering evil that lurks in the abuses of artificial intelligence. And it grows, unfortunately, it grows exponentially because so many people desire those abuses of the system. What's beyond this is the scope of how far AI can influence our society. First, it's just a helper, giving us advanced solutions that we hadn't thought of. Then it began replacing humans in the labor field and job sectors. Can you imagine losing your job to a robot? Like, that's insult to injury. Losing your job to a robot. Then, so we read that. Before you know it, it'll be replacing human frailties and weaknesses in the body and the mind. Welcome to transhumanism. It's an actual thing. They want to augment or improve beyond the initial scope or range of what was designed. They want to go beyond that. They want to make people smarter. They did all this genetic research to find out, well, what genome controls like a person's intelligence and what genome controls like these particular diseases. And let's see if we can just eradicate these things. We'll change them and modify them or delete them, all in the name of science to make people better, smarter, faster, healthier, whatever. It's unnatural. If God wanted you that way, he would have made you that way. And then here these people are playing God. So here is where it starts getting into Colonel Steve Austin and Terminator territory. That's the $6 million man from the 70s. And I know it sounds like really cliche to say, you know, Skynet's going to take over, but it really is like kind of getting there. You know, I hate to say it, but I don't at the same time. Augmentation, cybernetic enhancement, all in the name of science and the quest for longevity. In the days of Noah, God had put a time limit on the lifespan of human beings. Why? Because their hearts were full of evil and sought only to do its vile wickedness. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, in the Common English Bible version, when the number of people started to increase throughout the fertile land, daughters were born to them. The divine beings saw how beautiful these human women were, so they married the ones they chose. That's angels marrying human women. It's in Genesis 6. The Lord said, my breath will not remain in humans forever because they are flesh. They will live 120 years. There was a lot of foolishness going on. And like when the angels slept with human women and had children, they were Nephilim giants. And those giants were viciously evil. They destroyed everything in sight, just constant evil continually. And then the flood came. So this is what's happening here, as it was in the days of Noah. You know, we are in the days of Noah. All kinds of evil, all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of, you know, let's play God. Let's make, see, this is my question. At what point does, and this is something to really consider, at what point does the human spirit get yielded back to God when we die? And this is how it works. When we die, our physical body returns to dust. The spirit man is yielded back to God. And your soul spends eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. So that's it. My question is, when transhumanism evolves to a certain point, let's say you have some kind of heart failure or, you know, your brain was without oxygen and it had damage or something, but there's medical science breakthrough and we can give you a brand new heart. We can give you an artificial heart, okay? We say that. We can give you artificial kidneys. We can give you artificial X, Y, or Z. At what point have you actually, like, died, you know, and your soul is in heaven, right? But everyone else down here sees your body still walking around, talking, still has your personality, still has your memories, still has your emotions. All that stuff is working because you're being artificially kept alive, but your soul isn't really here. So what exactly are we all dealing with here?
Creepy.
To me, if my personal opinion is that is a nice vessel for the enemy to jump into. Doesn't have to worry about, you know, necessarily the Holy Spirit being in there to interfere. It's just a wide open vessel. It's already dead, but it's augmented artificially. What if it's genetically modified to be super intelligent, have super strength, all this science fiction? So let's just say, for sake of argument, that this being, this corporeal vessel, is the person's no longer with us, but the enemy's using that vessel through all this artificial breakthrough. That sounds to me like a demonic army that would be arrayed against children of God. I mean, it's just something to think about. And that's scary, because it always gets sold as this is for people's health and well-being. You know, this is to better people's lives, and it's always sold as something positive. But every time there's a dark force behind it at work, and nobody sees it until it comes out and it's too late. So you have an army of these things, you know, like the Terminator. But that's scary. And again, I admonish you to read Perry Stone's book, Artificial Intelligence Versus God. And he goes into some of that transhumanism stuff later on in the later chapters. But this, to bring it all back to the main point, this is what Jesus was talking about. Be careful not to be deceived in the end times. He said it four times in that chapter in Matthew. I think it was chapter 24. Reason, I believe one of the reasons why he said that was because he knew that this artificial intelligence was going to gain traction. It was going to gain a foothold in our society. And this, you'd be surprised to learn just how many aspects of our lives are run by artificial intelligence. Even right down to the traffic lights, artificial intelligence. Right down to basic stuff, the power grid, artificial intelligence. If it senses or detects that, you know, there's a greater need for power in this one region, it'll divert from these other places and put it over there. You know, it'll take power from the east and put it in central. It'll take it from the west and route it to everywhere but Texas, because Texas has its own little grid. Anyway, these are the things that we need to realize, is that if ever something happened to the power grid, we're in trouble. The power grid in this country has not been truly updated or serviced really since like the 60s. Like, it's bad, really bad. The transformers, those big like round tin looking things that are incredibly loud when they pop and burst into flames, those things are so expensive to make that they barely even have any. So when they go, it's like they got to special order these things from like China, right, and get these things put in. Not good. Not good. And I'm saying that to say this. We need to be prepared. We need to have wisdom. Like, we've become, without even realizing it, we may have become too reliant or dependent on the systems controlled by artificial intelligence or AI itself, depending on who you are and your lifestyle. But we need to return back to like the basics with God. And we need to go back to that firm foundation, because people are not only going to be like in the same boat as far as like panic, like everything's happening when it does finally happen, but they're going to look to us. They're going to look to us for answers, because we're like going to church and portraying, you know, we love Jesus and he's our Lord and Savior. But that also means that when the gross darkness like really hits, people are going to rely on us for the answers that they seek, for the comfort that God wants us to provide for them. And we have to be firm in those convictions. We have to like actually believe what we're saying. You know what I mean? To be able to help people. So, Father, we just thank you, God. We give you all honor and glory. And we thank you for bringing this Perry Stone book across to Pastor Barbara's attention. And thank you, God, for having her get this book. And Lord, we thank you for Perry Stone, for his teachings and the content of his book, to teach the body everything, God, that you would have us to know in this hour. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit will water the seeds that you've planted here this evening. And we pray and ask, God, for your wisdom and your discernment in the days ahead. We ask, God, that you would strengthen and equip us to do the things that you would have us to do, but also to be a support, to be a mainstay in the people's lives that you would send our way, to help and strengthen each other, to bolster each other's faith. And Lord, we thank you and give you all honor and glory for this timely teaching that you desire for your body to know. In Jesus' name, amen.